Jesus, Jesus, Jesus likes girls. Jesus, 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 Jesus likes girls. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus likes girls.
Hello, welcome to Jesus Likes Girls. This is Zena.
Hey, this is Shay.
We're having fun. We're sitting on a bed. We're rolling joints.
Apparently that's all we ever do.
Apparently it's what we're best
that's
at.
That's us in a nutshell. Sitting on a bed.
Rolling joints.
That's all we ever do.
But I own the biggest bed in the country.
You really do.
I own a super firm king bed.
It's amazing.
With a big loungy back on it and 1,400 pillows. And it's kind of like the meeting place.
It's so great. It really is the best.
And it takes up your whole room.
I've always respected that you're like, my huge-ass bed is more important than walking. I need to sleep.
Well, you know, I've built a house in my lifetime.
Yes.
According to all the dimensions I could possibly dream. And I had a giant master bedroom with a full-ass sauna tub, double shower, overlooking a river in the forest.
I saw that. I saw that bathroom.
And you know what?
Yeah.
At the end of the day...
Yeah.
Who gives a fuck about the square footage of your bedroom? It does not matter at all. For me, I don't care. The bed is what matters, and the closet.
I don't know. I think I like a little bit of room in the master. I can't deny that
My bedroom was
to
the
walk
equivalent.
Around.
My bedroom was my literally room. The equivalent of at least two rooms.
So, we went to New Orleans, and now we're back in the day.
Okay. That's that New Orleans jazz.
I see.
In that song.
Ah, cool. Yes. So we were there and I barely remember it. It was such a drug-fueled, furious time of debauchery.
Are you being serious right now?
No.
I was looking at your face like, what?
But...
Excuse me.
I just wanted to say that I'm saying that because lots of people thought it was that.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it's bad when a church leader takes off their clothes and puts on a teddy. Somebody actually wrote teddy in the comments. I think it's my aunt. She wrote, "What's with the teddies?"
I don't even know what to say about that. I haven't heard that word except the movies.
Teddies, man. I haven't heard teddies since like 1982. Right?
I'm bringing teddies back.
Bring it back. You know, it's funny because we've been doing this podcast for, we're in our third season. And just a little FYI, the podcast itself is work.
Yeah.
Like, we actually put time and effort into this podcast. It isn't just, like, happenstance that the podcast shows up. It's an artistic endeavor for me and for Shay.
Yeah.
And we love it. We're glad to do it. We're having a lot of fun because we're both extremely creative.
Yeah.
We're both creative people that love God and love music, love art. And our friendship has been kind of a source of support for both of us to be able to express ourselves as artists in a culture that doesn't necessarily support female artists. Mm-hmm. And maybe especially in Christendom.
I mean, yes. That's the major impetus for us to break free from the bondage of Christianity that we've been in for so many years. And the women who we love in the world, seeing them struggling and being abused by the church and having no platform for expression and never feeling like really knowing the level of suffrage that's happening like worldwide. You know, I think that was like the initial
suffrage. Do you mean suffering?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Suffrage does seem like a plural of suffering though.
I almost thought you were right.
Well, as it came out of my mouth, I was like, whatever, we'll just go with it. But that was initially an impetus, is that we were in a book club that was an offshoot of a healing care class in church. and had bonded with the women that we were meeting with, and then continued it on and started like realizing that they had stories that we never would have guessed ever. And it was universal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we were like, this is revolutionary.
Like heroin-filled nights. We were like, holy shit, these women have lived life. They've lived a life
that you would never know about because they were in the church, oppressed, had no place to tell those truths.
Their testimonies, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this whole season of looking at Beyoncé as an artist and admiring her and kind of paying homage to her by taking little bits and pieces of her style and implementing them this season is entirely intentional. Like, it's not by accident that we have done
had teddies on.
Done anything. Like, it wasn't like, whoops, did too like, much. Oh,
did too much cocaine last night, ended up in a teddy on my bed.
And posted pics. Like, I mean, literally, that's how people are responding.
Yeah.
Some and it's people, like some. And it's like, hey, you know, I have a theater degree and Shay works at the DIA. We are artists and we've been doing an artistic endeavor by doing the podcast in general is an artistic endeavor. But then also now as a way to sort of explore our love of Beyoncé and her art, we've just been having fun this season. And going to New Orleans was that. We were so excited. Let's talk about what we did with Value World.
Okay. Well, we just wanted to curate a wardrobe of things that we knew would photo well and would convey different perspectives of things that Beyoncé has done.
Just a nod to her in different ways.
Yeah. Because she has so many different looks and characters. I mean, her artistic creativity has such a deeply prolific closet of looks and expressions that she wants people to understand.
Yeah, and I kind of was thinking about her alter ego, Sasha Fierce, this idea, like, okay, I go on stage, I do incredibly bold things, I do sexual things, I bring so much attention to myself, and when I do that, I'm in this other mindset of my character, Sasha Fierce. And in some way, I think we pulled out a little tiny bit of our Sasha Fierce, or at least we shared a tiny bit of Sasha Fierce with the audience, because, guys, that was like nothing. Of the images that we have taken, that we have in our possession, the ones that we actually shared were the tamest. And none of them are overtly sexual. They're just highly suggestive, and they're really, really sexy, and you look at them, you want to look at them, you know?
Mm-hmm. But it's wrong. It's totally wrong. Everything that we did, we regret it all. That's what I think the Christian response wants us to say is, we're sorry.
I'm so sorry.
Didn't mean to offend.
I'm sorry, put on that teddy.
But you shouldn't be sexy.
No.
Xena, you were way too sexy.
I'm sorry. Well, what's interesting is we were talking about, like, what can a woman do with her own body? What can we were kind of pressing that. I know I was, because of being in. I'm sorry, did you get to finish your Value World story? We're curating looks. Go on.
Well, I mean, there's not a lot to say.
We spent We spent $600 at a thrift store. Okay, that's a lot of money.
That was with some discount. We went ham. We were like, whatever we're feeling, whatever we're seeing, and it works, we're doing it. And we're just like, we're invested in this.
We were so excited to like go to New Orleans. We had this vision of taking so many photos and making so much content, kind of like using, as Beyoncé does, film media to like project a whole nother side. And for us with this podcast, even though Shay and I are very attractive people, we've never pushed our physical appearance to sell our podcast or promote our podcast at all until this season, as kind of a fun artistic endeavor to enjoy while also seeing Beyoncé this summer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so we got to use our image as our own artistic
expression.
Yeah, it was like part of our medium, our image. How do we look in this? How do we look in this? What if I do this? How will this appear? What if I put on this teddy and I smear my eyeliner up and smear my lipstick on my face? Like, and then I take shots like, I look like Courtney Love. And just kind of enjoying, like, these ways of seeing yourself and playing with the image of feminine beauty.
Mm-hmm. And when you're on a bed with me and we're drinking champagne, we want to look that way. We chose to look that way on purpose.
It's makeup, people.
Let's play devil's advocate and say, like, well, what are you trying to communicate with people? What is your message in this artistic expression?
Well, you know? Yeah, yeah. And I think that, you know, the episode where we talked about the male gaze.
Yeah.
And saying that Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Megan, possibly they all have realized I'm under the male gaze, just like I have and you have mm-hmm. in your life being an attractive woman. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been outside of the male gaze, Shay?
No.
Ever go to the gas station?
Not one day of my life.
Same.
Not one day.
Okay, so being under the male gaze constantly as an attractive woman makes you feel crazy after a while. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like you're trapped. There's nothing you can do. You're always under this fucking male gaze, right? Mm-hmm. And for me as an abused kid, being attractive, the male gaze is even that much more threatening to me. Mm-hmm. And it's always present. And I fucking hate it. And I finally, like, I think after doing the work with my mom, I didn't think I'd get upset, but I'm getting upset. I just kind of finally felt like, this is my body, mm-hmm. and I can do whatever I want to with it. Mm-hmm. And I can do it under the male gaze, and they can watch me, and I don't fucking care. Go do whatever you want to. You want to save my images and go jerk off? Have a great time, asshole. Like, I can't stop the male gaze anyway.
You can't control it in any
way. I never have been able to. And so I just have to say, well, then I'm done being subject to the male gaze. I'm done being subservient to the male gaze. And I say, hey, male gaze, you want to look at me? How about this? And I use it for my own advantage because it's not going away. And I don't just mean sexually. I mean, like, in case you didn't notice, the pictures on the bed were not the only photos. Mm-hmm. We did some amazing photos down in the city in yellow. You know, we just had other expression besides what was on the bed. But sexual images are so powerful, especially to Christians, mm-hmm. that it's like you do nothing else and you're just that thing.
Well, and even more, we're not really even supposed to be sexual people as Christians, right?
Right.
It's all supposed to be discreet, hidden. And in private.
Yes.
Because you're supposed to be modest, you're supposed to be responsible with what you expose of yourself, because you're keeping it holy and sacred and private. I have
Lady
never...
in the streets, freak in the sheets.
I was about to say that, essentially. I was about to say, I have never been a modest sexual person married in the church ever. And early on in my Christian walk, when lots of people were trying to give me advice or mentorship or direction or whatever, because I was not a church-raised kid, and it was evident to all of the other church-raised people that I was an outlier, he said to me, be a freak in the sheets. That's great. Have a totally healthy sex life and do whatever you want. But don't let other people know about it and keep it private. And why? What I have experienced with that kind of mentality through being a Christian in the church is that sexuality is not embraced. And people are, like, asexual.
That's right.
True at all.
People are asexual.
And so all I felt, what I felt like I was doing was, like, being myself.
Yeah.
That's it.
But you're sexual in part, so stop it.
Exactly.
We've talked about church being an asexual space before, because sex is so complicated for so many people, mm-hmm. that when you go into church, it's kind of like, oh, we don't have to think about sex here. Mm-hmm. And that for some people, mm-hmm. that makes it feel really safe. Like for me, I was a sexually abused kid. Yeah. So coming into a church where it's an asexual space, no one's talking about sex, no one's making jokes about sex, no one's bringing up sex, then great, I'm golden. Because no one's ever going to talk about the main area of trauma in my life. Great. And you know what? I think a lot of sexually broken people are attracted to churches for that same reason. But that doesn't mean I'm suddenly not a sexually abused person. That doesn't mean I am asexual. It means all of my sexual behaviors are going on behind closed doors in secret. And I have to get prayer about masturbation every 2 days or whatever right. Christians are doing because their sexual lives are so relegated to yes. something.
And oppressed to be nothing. It's not okay to be a sexual woman.
No.
It's not okay to be sexy. It's not okay to flaunt your body, to, I feel like, to even love your body. Like, we were celebrating our bodies.
Right.
All weekend.
We were like, we are pretty. We are slaying these looks.
We are having fun. We love fashion. We love art. We love makeup. We love ourselves.
We're going to see this amazing artist at the end of it all. We're having so much fun.
And who were we surrounded by?
People.
A shit ton, fully packed city full of people doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Celebrating love, freedom, peace, happiness, joy, their bodies, their sexuality, their expression, their race, their gender, everything.
Yeah.
Peace and freedom all around us.
Yeah.
Doing the exact same thing. But there probably weren't any Christians there.
I think there were. Well, that was the funny thing, too.
Eye roll.
In the streets, like, we met so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Our street interactions with people were, I think, my highlight mm-hmm. of the trip. Because some of them were so, like, intense and odd and out of nowhere and just kind of cool.
We couldn't do anything without you talking to every single person around us. It was driving me crazy. I was like, can we just get to Café du Monde? Because you were so open to exploration.
I really
within
was.
Within your own self and within the people that were all around us.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like you were kind of identifying. So many people were there for New Orleans because this final Renaissance show was in her secondary hometown. And it was a giant, we're in a celebration town.
Right.
And
in the French Quarter.
Huge celebration of a giant artist who is beloved to so many people.
Right.
And so it was a vibe that was on. And you were there for it 100%.
I was so there.
I was less.
I know.
I was just like, okay, we're talking to another person. But I was still like, I love you and I love your heart because you love people.
I do.
And
I'm intensely interested in people.
You are.
Yeah, and they feel it and they yeah. respond.
Yeah.
But at some point, Shay and I was like, I won't talk to anyone else. If they talk to me, I'll engage and then you decide if we're going to stay or leave. But I think that fell apart immediately. I think I talked to someone immediately after we set that up. So we were having a great time making art, thinking we were the shit, having so much fun. And then the responses started coming to what we were posting because we were posting in real time. We wanted to be like, okay, this was our first night. Let's get our first night online. So we were like we were trying to do an artistic project.
Mm-hmm. We and did an artistic project.
Right. And then the responses first, my mom.
Remember mom gets a pass. I stand with Kathy on this one. I said it in the moment and I stand with it. Concerned moms can voice their opinions. They are allowed. And we don't need to take offense to it because it's their fucking job.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
Because you responded like a typical daughter. You're like, Mom, I'm fine. Is that wrong? Or is it just being short-sighted? Or is it just so triggering for people to see us in a box as women? Like, you are this, you are this, and you are this. And seeing things outside of that, they can't believe that we could be a Christian and, you know what I mean?
What?
The dichotomy of opposing perspectives and opinions doesn't exist for a lot of people.
For a lot of Christians.
Definitely. I would say most. I would say all. I would say every single damn one of them.
Every single one.
It's very including myself.
It's hard for us as Christians to allow ourselves to do something like you and I did. And then also to not judge so harshly.
Yeah.
And that's the issue with Christians. You've never met a more judgmental group.
It's so true.
You know? And I kind of hoped putting myself out there, the process of healing here in this place, I thought it would be okay. And you know, I think a lot of people were okay with it, but I think the further you get out from hardline Christians, those are the people who were more okay with it. Like, I honestly have friends who I told that people were upset and they were like, what are you talking about? And that's the difference. Like, I think that women in the arts outside of the church are doing amazing things.
Yeah.
They can push the envelope. They can put on a teddy. They can do whatever they want to do.
I can't get over this. Well, one of the things that I kept asking myself, because I was anticipating reactions, I got none. Because apparently I did what people expect of me.
Yeah, you're the party Christian party girl. Who knows if you even love, you got a divorce.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I'm
out of the church already.
You're in New Orleans getting buck wild. No one blinks an eye.
Mm-hmm. Because that's what they expect of me.
That's right.
So you were just doing things they didn't expect of you. How am I supposed to behave today by everybody's expectations? And you too.
Right.
I don't know. Day to day. I'm never meeting the mark, actually. Myself, as my walk as a woman in this world, in the church, in the workplace, in the home, I'm never doing what's expected of me.
How do you do it?
No fucking way to do it. It's an impossible task to do what is expected of us as women, with Mark's box and Tom's box and everybody's different boxes that we're supposed to fit. So me and you, we're like, fuck it. We're gonna do what we feel, what we believe is okay. We're gonna be safe. And we're going to have fucking fun. And we're going to celebrate
life fun.
And beauty and God. Because God was with us.
So strongly. I mean, if you could have been a part of some of the... I prayed for like random...
Every person on the street. Every person you met.
And then the deaf guy. The deaf guy that I met that didn't know any sign. And I was like...
wow.
We've got pics of me and him. Shay took... shots of me and him, me teaching him the sign for I love you. He's a hard of hearing guy who he was just trying to get by just from the hearing he had. But it was obvious to me he was struggling. Mm-hmm. And I noticed it right away. And he was like, yes, I am deaf. Remember that?
Yeah.
And so God was active. Like Holy Spirit was very present with us. And so that was another part to see people that we loved. Oh, I've got a good point to make too. But to see people we loved feel bad about it and knowing God was in it, you know, that was another confusing part.
They cannot reconcile. Because there is an expectation of us as women of how we are supposed to live our lives. And we don't give a fuck. We don't care.
Heart awakening is not giving a fuck.
And the irony is, we care so much. We care almost too much, you know?
Well, I care. I know you don't care too much, but I still care. Baby.
My all-time favorite song of Beyonce's. Because I do care too much. And I don't want to. I don't want to care what people think about me. I don't give a fuck if every single person who ever listened to our podcast and also looked at our photos on Instagram, if every single person said, this is trash, you're trashy, and this is worthless, double fingers up. I don't give a fuck.
Same.
I don't care if that's how you feel.
I don't either.
Also angers the hell out of people because they're just like, they can't, their argument has no bearing to us. It's not going to change our behavior.
Here's the thing. One person that I love dearly wrote out to me. They were concerned because of the pics that I took that had the hustler in the background. Well, there's a hustler club in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And it's a strip club. And
it's the one we were standing in front of.
Right. That's where we were standing. It's called Hustlers. They have a bunch of old issues out on the front under glass. And we took pictures talking to this homeless dude when we were standing there. And I was kind of obsessed with this place, asked Shay, when we were there. Every time we walked by and I saw the girls, I was like, they're so pretty.
Yeah.
So they had all these really young, really beautiful girls, but they wouldn't let them come outside, which was kind of weird because we're in the French Quarter. Everything's happening on the street. But when you went by the Hustler Club, the girls were all in the threshold of the door. And there was a man who probably was the proprietor / pimp of this club who was kind of standing, making sure they didn't go anywhere. And it pissed me off.
Right.
And I kept wanting to take pictures with these girls or go in and talk to these girls or whatever. And you weren't that into it.
No.
Nobody was.
I mean, well, because I didn't want to exploit them with my fascination of them.
Okay.
You know, I was just like, you're doing your work. You're making your choices. I respect you.
Yeah.
You're gorgeous. I can't look away from you. But I also would say that part of the reason why they weren't allowed or weren't leaving the doorway was also for their own safety. Because one of the things that you were not really concerned about was safety on our trip. Like, not safety, like, it doesn't matter to you, but, you know, it's a, New Orleans is a really crime-ridden place. Like, it, the,
and
there's
I
a
didn't
lot
act,
of crime.
I wasn't afraid of New Orleans.
No, but I am. A little bit.
Most people are.
There's just a lot of crime there, and so...
And it couldn't really penetrate my thick skull the whole time I was there. Shay kept waking up every day and being like, this is a dangerous city. Don't go away with strangers.
Let's keep these parameters to just be safe where you would travel in any big city, you know? Like, right. Let's stay together. Let's
but I'm, like, jumping in
us.
A car. I'm like, let me
<Yeah.
laughs>
Which is evidence of your innocent heart, your desire to just connect with people.
Trusting everybody.
Except me.
That is so funny.
But
that's hilarious.
But it really was evidence to me of your innocence of wanting to connect with people and love people.
Yeah.
And be free to be yourself and explore.
Yeah.
Because the thing about Beyoncé's show is her bottom line about this album and everything that she has done with it is peace and celebration of all peoples. Of everybody's differences, like, let's celebrate life and love each other and have fun and be ourselves.
Yeah.
Whatever you are.
Yeah.
Whoever you are. Whatever you do.
And I really, really just wanted to experience that while we were there.
Yeah.
When I did finally get to talk to the girls and take a picture with them, it was just like, wow, you know, you're so beautiful. I just told them they're gorgeous. There's something in me, I think, because I was involved in sex trafficking, like, to assume that I don't care if I'm in an image with a Hustler magazine is insulting to me.
Yeah.
Honestly, because I identify with those young girls in that building. Mm. And I just notice in the Christian culture, like, a resistance to care about sex workers or girls who are involved in the sex trade in whatever way. Like, even if they choose it and they're stripping, I feel like Christians just, like, it's like they are an untouchable still. Still.
Yeah.
Strippers. Like, they're just women. And men have made money off their backs forever. You know, mm-hmm. that's the name of the game. And it is terribly exploitive and it does terrible things, but it doesn't change the fact that there are real women in that building. Real women with real hearts that God loves. It's not coincidental. It matters to me. It matters to me to bring awareness to pornography and sex work. It matters to me to make you look at me in a teddy and talk about the part of women that is
ever present in every single woman on earth.
Ever made. Present and wanted in secret by every man. Mm-hmm. But if she takes that power into her own hands, honestly, the image is so powerful that it makes everybody uncomfortable. It's like, hey, Zena, hey, Shannon, you can't have this much power. It's not for you. That's for private. That's for your husband. That's for... keep it away, you know, like
that just struck me how you said that's for your husband. That's for other people, you know, it's for everybody else but us.
But not you.
Yeah, but ourselves. And I think that's one of the things that I didn't realize as, like, tangibly as I do in this moment is that Beyoncé opens her fucking show with her entire body across a 5,000 mile LED display. That's how she opens the show. Is everybody sees her laying sideways, naked, with pasties and a bikini, diamond bikini.
She looks amazing.
She looks like the goddess of all heaven and earth.
She's so beautiful.
And she says, I can do this for myself, and I can do it for all of you, too.
And I can do it for my daughters, and I will empower everybody by reclaiming my own body and saying, this is me.
And I'm doing what I want to do.
And that I am my own medium.
Yeah.
That's what Beyoncé's saying. She's saying, I can put myself in 7 million looks and you'll look every time. Because my body is my medium. Mm-hmm. And I just...
One of her mediums.
I mean, but her body is her medium. If her voice is in her body, her dancing is her body, she is her medium.
Yeah.
She is art. And I just feel like every woman is.
Yeah.
Every woman is beautiful.
Agreed.
And it's not their fault. I've said this before on this podcast, and I think it is so important that women are beautiful, and it's not their fault.
Yeah.
You know, it's not my fault that if I put on a certain dress and I walk down the street, every man on the street looks at me. Is that my fault?
Yeah, you're a slut.
Or is that how God made me? That I'm beautiful. I can't help it. It's how I was made. I was literally made gorgeous. How about you?
You know I was.
And so are all women.
Amen.
And it is so threatening. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful.
Well, it's a lot more threatening if we take it into our hands and say, this is, you see me this way, and I see me this way too.
I can.
Then they're like, oh, no, no, no. That's egotistical, it's over-sexualizing women, it's exploitive, it's slutty, it's this, that.
Whore!
Apparently both of us have the insane amount of experience of being talked to derogatorily, because I Tourette'd out, you're a slut, when you were talking about walking down the street.
Well, I mean, that's even if they're not saying it, it's
they
what
are, though.
They think.
That's what people essentially were saying about
to me.
Yes.
To us, yeah.
About,
you
look like a whore.
No one I care you're about. Depicting. I don't want people looking like that I love.
Yeah.
Someone said that to me. Oh. I'm like, well, do you love me?
Are
then?
Those the parameters of your love? You must meet my expectations in every way I behave?
Do you love me? Do you know me? Have you listened to what I've been doing? And that's how I feel, really, about it.
Yeah.
No regrets. I'm so glad we did it.
Me too.
And I honestly feel a lot freer just in my everyday life. I'm really glad we did it.
Me too.
And I love you.
I love you too. In our messy, broken selves. You know, we had a hard time in New Orleans a little
We did.
We got into a fight. There were some misunderstandings. We were tired.
Yeah. And we love working together. I told Shay, it's my literal joy to work with you. But even then, we should have had separate rooms so we could have had our own space. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Moore
Drag show
episode. Appreciate that. Keep sending that to Beth. We're going to pelt her with all these messages. Beth Moore, drag show.
Thank you for
show.
The drinks.
Thank you.
Thank you. That was really awesome.
That was very cool. Some of you actually pulled out the old Venmo and
blessed us
with drinks.
Gave us joy and support. Like, hey, have a fun time. We love you.
Yeah.
And it's nice to get some positive, like, accolades and support.
You know, actually only one person did that for us.
I wasn't going to say that.
Only one person bought us drinks in New Orleans. And you know who that person was?
Actually, no, I don't.
A really beautiful, independent woman. I mean, she's gorgeous. She used to be, I think she was in the pageant scene and then she was in calendars. She's absolutely beautiful. But she's the one who sent us drinks.
So sweet.
Hey, bitches. All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Adios. Peace.
Peace.